On the first Sunday of Advent is always the Sunday of hope. And we live in a world which is in desperate need of hope, I think. At times we look around the world and we shake our heads and wonder, how did things get to the way that they are? And sometimes we wonder, God, why haven't you come back? Why haven't you done something? So traditionally, the first Sunday of Advent, we look to the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, my passage this morning has a bit of the return of Christ, but it also focuses upon what we do in the meantime. Now, in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul realized when he had been in Thessalonica, he had only been there for a short period of time, maybe weeks to maybe two or three months, just a short period of time where he planted the church and got it going, and then he had to move on again. And then, you know, it became evident that messengers brought the message to Paul that things were a bit unsteady in Thessalonica with the congregation there. And so Paul took up the pen to write a letter of encouragement, and that's really what we want to focus upon this morning, is that encouragement he gave to that congregation. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And this will be my text verse this morning. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everybody else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The power of a single good word. Congregation loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Encouragement comes in many shapes, sizes, and forms. Bob Kuchenberg, formerly of the Miami Dolphin football team, gave testimony of his father's encouragement to go to college when he was a teenager. Bob said that his father continually encouraged him to go to college, but if he did not wish to do so, he could become a human cannonball in carnivals, just as Bob's father and his uncle were. Repeatedly, Bob's father said, "Go to college or be a human cannonball." One day, Bob's uncle came out of the cannon, missed the net, hit the Ferris wheel. In his interview with Newsweek magazine, Bob noted that it was that day he accepted the value of his father's encouragement to go to college. Little wonder. You know, encouragement can be a tricky thing. Sometimes when we speak words which we understand as encouragement to others, well, they may not see it the same way. The reason for that can be traced back to when we chose to give encouragement. What is our heartfelt motivation? It must be guided by our love for one another. Some time ago, I saw a cartoon that had a church member talking to their pastor. And the woman said to the pastor that she liked the beginnings and the endings of his sermons, but the middle parts needed some work. Seldom do we calculate the effects of the words we speak. But when we have a specific purpose in mind, we can approach the whole matter of encouragement on a better footing. Take our passage for this morning, for instance. The Apostle Paul was writing to the believers in Thessalonica. They were Christians who had become preoccupied with the events that would surround the second coming of Jesus. Some loved ones had died in the meantime, and they were worried that, well, Jesus hasn't returned yet, and our loved ones have passed away. What has happened to them? Their anxiety becoming so great that word got back to Paul. They were anxious about the second coming, and they were anxious about their loved ones. They wondered what it was like for those who had died before Jesus returned. How would those who had lost a loved one be able to cope? Everyone had been placing their hope in the second coming of Jesus. What would be the signal that Jesus was finally coming back? What could we look to, say, in the skies or in world events that would signal that we would know for sure that Jesus would be back? How long should they wait for his return? Some even wondered if they should go to work tomorrow, wondering if Jesus might come. Well, that would have been a fruitless exercise to go to work in the first place. All these and other perplexing questions played at the heart of the people, the believers in Thessalonica. They felt fear and apprehension over their future. They felt a sense of abandonment because Paul, their beloved mentor, was not with them, and they longed for a good word. But encouragement seemed a long ways away from where they found themselves. It was at this time that Paul took the time to opportunity to write a letter, and he seized the moment to explain what would happen when Jesus returned. Some of that is contained in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And he addressed some of the things about when we die, what it means to die in Christ, to belong body and soul, as we heard in the children's message, body and soul, life and in death, to our faithful Savior. What happens? Patiently, patiently, the apostle told them what he knew, so as to set their hearts and their hearts without fear. They could calm themselves and with the knowledge that God is always in control of all things, that no matter how much the world seems to be spinning off of its axis, no matter how much circumstance seem to be going south, God is in control. He wanted them to be built up in the faith so they wouldn't be tossed from side to side like in a storm. He wanted them to know the power of a single good word. You know, many people today are looking for such a good word in their lives. When one person encourages another, they can have a tremendous ripple effect. Oftentimes in the church, we find it hard to encourage one another. Many people serve the church, both staff people and volunteers. We have many opportunities to seize the moment to bring a good word. So it happens all too often that we fail to thank those who teach our children for Sunday school. We don't thank the musicians for bringing music to us. We forget to thank council members for their diligent oversight of the church. We forget to thank those who make the coffee on Sunday. It's easy for us to take others for granted and to just go along as if we're entitled to all things. When speaking to a council member, we would often rather talk about the ills of the church rather than the blessings that we have recently received from the Lord or the spiritual condition of our hearts. Encouragement, though, requires that we first take attention off of our own interests and focus it on another. And that's not easy. In our sinful and broken world, we more often easily focus on the attention on ourselves. What's interesting in all this is that every one of us genuinely likes to receive encouragement. If I asked you to raise your hand if you like to receive encouragement, I can hardly imagine a person not raising their hand. We all like to receive encouragement. We're slow to dispense it, but we actually like to receive it. And maybe sometimes we might even calculate in our heads to say something good to someone. Well, we don't want it to go to their head. Right? I've heard that argument before. I don't think I've ever seen encouragement go to someone's head. The book of Proverbs. A while back I was reading in the book of Proverbs, and I was, as I read through, I began to notice a pattern, and I pulled some of them out. I didn't take them all, but I did note some of them. And here are some of the Proverbs that talk about the true power of encouragement. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Isn't that interesting? The tongue has the power of life and death. If we use our tongue for good, we're bringing life to people. If we use it for evil, we're diminishing others. Proverbs 12, verse 25, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." Isn't that true? In our pastoral prayer this morning, we heard about people who would do well to receive a good word, who in whatever their circumstances individually, they're going through a time. And what would happen if we gave them a word that would cheer them up? Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life." And in an allusion to, I think, to Psalm 1, the tongue brings something like the tree of life to people. A tree set by water, being well fed. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Oh, honey, what a wonderful tasting thing from nature. Pleasant words are just like giving someone some sweet honeycomb. And finally, Proverbs 25, verse 11. I really like this one. I read this one. "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Think about that for a minute. Apples of gold in a setting of silver. What a beautiful thing. Amazing. So a word aptly spoken is like a wonderful piece of jewelry that brings joy when given away. Encouragement is something that anyone can do to another and give to another. Reverend John Stott, a well-known Christian writer, said this about Paul's exhortation to encourage one another. He wrote, Encouragement emphasizes the complementary nature of Christian care. We're not to leave it to an elite professional comforters or counselors. These have an important role to fulfill, but supporting, caring, encouraging, and comforting are ministries which belong to all members of the body of Christ. Everyone can encourage another. He went on to explain that this encouragement might look something like this. It could range from a simple smile to a hug to a squeeze of the hand to the costliness of patient listening to sympathy and empathy and even friendship. You know, it's interesting to note, though, that encouragement does really cost the giver something. No one can dispense encouragement unless they're willing to pay the price. That is, we must love our fellow Christian and also our neighbor as we love ourselves. This is possible through our marveling at the love that God has shown us. Again, in one of our songs this morning, you know, that God sent his Son to die for us. What a marvel. Our complete unworthiness, yet God, in his amazing understanding and discernment of our needs, sent his Son, Jesus. The word encouragement itself means to build up or to transfer courage from one to another. And when we say positive words of encouragement, people are uplifted to continue better than before. Paul knew this truth, so he gave encouragement to the Thessalonians in two ways. He spoke into their fears and their concerns regarding the second coming, and he instructed them how to dispense encouragement to one another. In verses 12 and following of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul puts flesh on these areas that can be of encouragement. Paul told the Thessalonians in verses 12 to 13 to encourage their leaders. Why? Because they have a tough job. Speak a good word to them. Their work is not easy. Take a moment to bless them. Then in verse 14, it says, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Verse 16, encourage the Thessalonians as well to rejoice always. Can you imagine what that must mean? To rejoice always. Even when your world seems to be falling apart from underneath you, rejoice always. Then in verse 17, Paul enjoins the believers in Thessalonica to pray continually. One time I spoke and I talked about breath prayers. You know, you're going along and said, oh Lord, hear my prayer. I feel anxious. Amen. Sometimes we think that prayer has to be big and expansive and full of many words. But Paul says, pray continually. Let it be an outflow of your heart, that connection to the Almighty, because the Almighty always hears his children. And then verse 18, Paul encourages the believers then and now to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks always. I have to admit, last Sunday I was not giving thanks as I was coughing and coughing and coughing. But once it began to diminish, even a little bit, I began to think I need to thank God that it's not as bad as it was. Sometimes our own self-pity, our own self-centeredness keeps us from thinking about how to give thanks. And Paul says, do it in all circumstances. What would happen in and around the community of Leduc if our community saw us doing these words of the apostle on a regular basis? Not because we were commanded to do so or instructed to do so, but because we're showing our love for one another and for others. I dare say that people would want to be in on such a kind of community. Who doesn't want to be loved? Who doesn't want to be encouraged? Who doesn't need someone to bless them from time to time? We all want these things, so why not start a trend? Each one of us can take the initiative. It's interesting that the Greek word for encouragement, parakaleo, shares the same root word for one of the names of the Holy Spirit, that is, paraclete. I'm sure some of the older folks will remember how the paraclete was more commonly talked about years ago. But parakaleo and paraclete share the same root word. And it means to come alongside of, to care for. So when we encourage another, we are acting as does the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside believers to encourage them through the good times, through the mediocre times, and through the challenging times. In doing so, we can give a person a real boost from our supply of courage, even though their life circumstances may be very poor. I know this from experience in my own ministry. Years ago, when I was serving in my last church, someone gave me a card on a Monday. And Monday, I usually try to go in for an hour or two, get a few things organized, usually did a few visits on Monday. But I got to tell you, I was just spent. But there was a card in my mail slot waiting for me. I opened it up. And was I encouraged? Someone thanking me for the things I do, and they realized that a lot of the things that I do as pastor were not always seen by everyone, not appreciated by everyone, but they had heard some things, and so they wanted to encourage me. Well, I can't tell you what it did for me. It was a huge boost. I went from being kind of tired and frazzled and probably being a little bit in self-pity. Woe is me. Sometimes I've called that the Eeyore syndrome. Oh my, look how bad it is. You know, when I read the grandchildren, the Winnie the Pooh books, you know, Eeyore is something. I said, sometimes we become Eeyore pretty easily ourselves. But that note, that just changed my outlook. It took me from being kind of tired and frazzled to being energized again, realizing that someone had come alongside me and giving me their courage, and in turn, blessing me in such a way to keep going. Never underestimate the blessings that can result from a single word of encouragement. I want to tell you a true story of a simple exercise of encouragement. The lady who did it was Sister Helen Marosola. She lived in Morris, Minnesota. She was a teacher, and she had 34 students in her grade three class. And one of the kids in her class his name was Mark Eklund. And to Sister Helen, Mark was one of those one-in-a-million kids for a teacher. I know my wife has noted that sometimes from her career of teaching in Christian school. He was very neat in appearance. He was a happy-go-lucky little boy. And even when he did something mischievous, you could kind of tell that it really wasn't super meant to be bad. And so Sister Helen really loved that young boy. Well, years went by, and before she knew it, this young Mark Eklund was in her classroom, and she was teaching ninth graders math. And one Friday, things didn't feel right, she had noted in the classroom. The students had worked hard on a new concept all week, and Sister Helen had sensed that the students were frowning, they were frustrated, and they were edgy with one another, and she decided something had to be done to stop the crankiness before it got out of control. So she asked her students to list the names of all the other students in the class on two sheets of paper, leaving a space between each name. And then she told them to think of the nicest thing that they could say about each of their classmates and to write it down. It took the remainder of the class period to finish their assignment, and as the students left the room, they handed in their papers. That Saturday, Sister Helen wrote down the names of each student on a separate sheet of paper and listed what everyone had said about the other individuals. On Monday, Sister Helen gave each student his or her list, and before long, the entire class was smiling. "Really," she heard someone say, "I never knew that meant anything to anyone." And another student said out loud, "I didn't know others liked me so much." No one ever mentioned those papers in class again. Sister Helen didn't know if they ever discussed them with their parents at home or if they had even kept those papers. But she figured that day the exercise had accomplished its purpose. They were charged up again. They were ready to go. The class moved forward again in their math studies, and soon enough, well, of course, you know how it is with children, all of a sudden they graduate and they move on. Some years later, after returning from a vacation, Sister Helen was met at the airport by her parents. And as they were driving home, Sister Helen's father cleared his throat, as he usually did when he's about to say something important, and he said, "The Ecklins called last night." And Sister Helen said, "Really? I haven't heard from them for years. I wonder how Mark is doing." And their dad responded quietly, "Mark was killed in action while fighting with the army. His funeral is tomorrow, and his parents would like it if you could attend." Well, the church was packed with Mark's friends that day. It was a difficult day for all, and the rain at the graveside made things seem even worse. After all was finished, one of the soldiers who had acted as pallbearer went up to Sister Helen and asked if she had been Mark's math teacher. "Yes," Helen said. The soldier said, "Mark talked about you a lot." After the funeral, most of Mark's former classmates headed for Chuck's farmhouse for lunch. Mark's mother and father were there too, waiting for Sister Helen. "We want to show you something," his father said, taking a wallet out of his pocket. "They found this on Mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it." Opening the billfold, he carefully removed two worn pieces of paper that had obviously been taped, folded, and refolded many times. Sister Helen knew without looking at that paper that they were the ones on which she had listed all the good things each of Mark's classmates had said about him. "Thank you so much for doing that," Mark's mother said. As you can see, Mark treasured it. Mark's classmates started to gather around, and Charlie smiled rather sheepishly and said, "I still have my list. It's in the top drawer of my desk at home." Chuck's wife piped in and said, "Chuck asked me to put his list in our wedding album." "I have mine too," Marilyn said. "It's in my diary." Then Vicky, another classmate, reached into her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her worn and frazzled list to the group. "I carry this with me at all times," Vicky said. "I think we all saved our lists." What a marvelous testimony. The effects of such an approach can be far-reaching. Beloved people of God, encourage one another and build each other up. And in doing so, we are following the lead of God's Holy Spirit in this world. We are actually being the messengers of God, like God sent His Son. Readily bless family members, other believers, friends, and neighbors, and the community each day with the encouragement by the power of a good word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we know how that encouragement of your Son has touched all of our lives. That is why we're here today, to worship you, O great God, because you sent your beloved Son, Jesus, into the world to take our place for our sin. Then instead of us being nailed to the cross and having no hope, Jesus went to the cross in our place and gave us all hope. In Christ our Lord, all things hold together. In Christ our Lord, we have faith. We have the grace to live another day. We have what we need at every moment through our great God. What a powerful encouragement that you have given to us. And may we too be an encouragement to those around us, to give a good word, to say a word of blessing, to express love in a new way that maybe we haven't done before. And in doing so, all this, we will be exalting the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the faithful one who gave himself for us, those without hope, to live a life full of hope each day. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.